you can host the best backyard barbecue. When you find a professional on Angie to make your backyard the best around. Connect with skilled professionals to get all your home projects done well. Inside to outside, repairs to renovations. Get started on the Angie app or visit Angie.com today. You can do this when you Angie that.
First Republic, PacWest, Silicon Valley Bank, just a few of the latest casualties in the banking crisis. Don't wait for the email reading, sorry, your account has been frozen. Your accounts aren't safe. Call American Alternative Assets at 866-3-USA-GOLD to claim your free gold and silver guide today. Once again, call now, 866-387-2465. Hello, everybody. I'm Lou Dobbs. Welcome to the Great America Show and delighted to have you with us. It's a showdown now between Congress and the unelected bureaucrats of the FBI. The FBI is supposed to be the top law enforcement agency in the United States, yet it's not following the law, it's breaking the law, and not upholding the Constitution. The arrogance of this corrupt FBI and DOJ seems to be without limit. House Oversight Committee Chairman James Comer today announcing he's moving ahead with contempt of Congress charges against FBI Director Christopher Wray. The contempt charges follow Wray's failure to comply with the Oversight Committee subpoena to turn over an unclassified document that implicates Joe Biden in a $5 million bribery scheme. We'll be taking that up momentarily with the founder and editor-in-chief of Just the News, John Solomon. But first, these news developments. Former director of the FBI, James Comey, breaking tradition and endorsing a political candidate. Comey joined Jen Psaki on MSNBC. Comey warning about the return of President Trump, the former FBI director who was part of the Marxist dim and deep state plot to overthrow Trump, seemed very nervous. Take a listen to this exchange on why he's terrified of a return of Donald Trump to the White House.
You said that Trump poses a near existential threat to the rule of law. And this is something similar language that I hear privately from national security officials, some people you and I both know who will say this privately about what a second term could mean. But tell me a little bit about the specifics of what he could try to do. What do you mean by that?
Well, think about what 4 years of a retribution presidency might look like. He could order the investigation and prosecution of individuals who he sees as enemies. I'm sure I'm on the enemies list, because the president constitutionally does oversee the executive branch entirely, which includes the Department of Justice, prosecutors and investigators. And so he could commission, direct that individuals be pursued. He could also direct all kinds of other conduct that people would maybe take to court to try to stop. But who enforces court orders? Mm-hmm. Mostly the United States Marshals Service, which is in part of the executive branch and reports to the president. And so President Trump could say, I don't care what the Supreme Court says or these district judges say. I'm telling the Marshals Service, don't enforce the court order. And so our Constitution really does give a rogue president, which is what this would be, tremendous power to destroy. And so that's why I'm trying to warn people. Given the way he said he intends to operate if he's reelected, this will be something we could never have imagined. Again, it seems like science fiction in a way, but it's what another 4 years of Donald Trump really promises, which is why people criticize CNN for their town hall. I want the American people to stare at the threat that we're facing and understand that they cannot take the next election off.
4 years of retribution, says Comey. When asked who Comey would be supporting in the 2024 election, he didn't hesitate to boost the impaired puppet incumbent.
You were a Republican most of your life, but voted for, and you may still consider yourself one, but voted for Biden in 2020. Do you intend to vote for him again? Or is there anyone on the Republican side you might consider if it's not Trump?
It has to be Joe Biden. And I'm glad he's willing to serve. It has to be somebody committed to the rule of law, committed to the values of this country. And I'm not talking about policy. People can disagree about policy. There are things above those disagreements that all of us should think about the same way. The president must be someone who abides the law and our Constitution. And there's no one else but Joe Biden.
Can you believe he kept a straight face as he said hypocritically that Joe Biden is, quote, committed to the rule of law, end quote? The Republican House Committee is truly committed, moving ahead with their investigations of the corrupt Biden regime, including, of course, the corrupt FBI and Justice Department. For the last 5 months, Chairman Comer has been investigating Biden and his crime family, and all the while, the Biden family has been protected by every government agency, it seems, including the FBI and DOJ. Yesterday, Congressman Comer had enough with the stonewalling and the protection of the Biden family. After more than a month of going back and forth with the FBI over their failure to turn over a whistleblower document that implicates Joe Biden, Comer started the process to hold FBI Director Wray in contempt. Here's Comer following a meeting with Ranking Member Jamie Raskin and high-level FBI officials.
FBI officials confirmed that the unclassified FBI-generated record has not been disproven and is currently being used in an ongoing investigation. The confidential human source who provided information about then Vice President Biden being involved in a criminal bribery scheme is a trusted, highly credible informant who has been used by the FBI for over 10 years and has been paid over six figures. These are facts, and no amount of spin and frankly lies from the White House or congressional Democrats can change this information. At the briefing, the FBI again refused to hand over the unclassified record to the custody of the House Oversight Committee, and we will now initiate contempt of Congress hearings this Thursday. Given the severity and complexity of the allegations contained within this record, Congress must investigate further. Americans have lost trust in the FBI's ability to enforce the law impartially and demand answers, transparency, and accountability. The investigation is not dead. This is only the beginning.
Joining us now is John Solomon, founder and editor-in-chief of Just the News. John, it's great to have you back with us here on the Great America Show. Let's start with the big news. Chairman Comer going ahead with contempt of Congress charges against Director Wray.
Well, the FBI brought the document for Republicans to see. Now, remember, the Republicans have already seen it. Both Comer and Grassley read it from other sources, meaning not from the FBI, but from somewhere else. He's not satisfied. He wants this document in the possession of Congress so it can be made public and be used to educate the public on what the FBI was doing and not doing to investigate Biden corruption, and specifically the possibility that our current president, when he was vice president, engaged in a bribery scheme involving a foreign country. So those are all really big, big moments. And today they thought there was going to get some cooperation. They got a little bit. But the fact that Congress can't take the document with them, can't make it public, not satisfied, is James Comer. And so he's proceeding to a contempt vote, which could happen in the next few days.
Well, I would hope that if it is to come, it's done with great dispatch, as you suggest, okay. Because this has been, I figure, first of all, Chairman Comer, just incredible props for moving ahead and threatening, without compliance to that subpoena, threatening contempt of Congress. It is nice to see a man with backbone stand up straight and say, this is the Constitution, this is the Oversight Committee, and you will, by golly, turn it over.
Yeah. Listen, we haven't seen this determination from prior congressional committees. If you remember, for a while, Paul Ryan didn't want to hold the FBI's feet to the fire in Russia collusion. A lot of people felt like the investigation into Benghazi got cut short, that there was a place to go that now there isn't. And so I think you look at the investigation now and you go, well, in the past, the Republicans lost their will and they stopped. James Comer seems to have a lot of moxie. He's determined to get to exercise the full authority of Congress and to get the American people the full truth, not part of the truth, not the truth that the FBI wants to manipulate. He wants the full truth sitting out there in plain view. And it appears he's on that course today.
And on that course, since really now we're reaching back to 2020 again, the election year of 2020 with so much going on. This looks like another effort. I'm saying it looks like, I can't say that it is, but it looks like another effort on the part of the FBI to hide evidence that would have been very difficult for President Biden, then a candidate for president, former vice president, to explain. We can't even get the FBI to let go of that thing. The Secret Service, the FBI, each one of these agencies, the Internal Revenue Service, you name it, the Justice Department, the FBI, they have built ramparts around Joe Biden, who is on his face, absolutely corrupt.
Yeah. Well, listen, you're 100% right that the protection racket, there's been a political protection racket inside the FBI. That's a problem. It shouldn't be politics in the FBI. The FBI should not look at the defendant. They should look at the crime and treat each defendant the same way. But that's not been the way that the Justice Department has worked since at least the summer of 2016, when the Steele dossier and the other allegations of Russia collusion, now long disproven, came in. Since that time, you see a very partisan FBI. And over the weekend, you saw just how partisan it was. Its former director, no prior FBI director would make an endorsement of a presidential candidate, but James Comey, he's out there touting Joe Biden for re-election in 2024. That alone discredits the FBI. All other prior FBI directors have been careful not to make endorsements, to realize that whether you were there and when you retire, you still represent the FBI. James Comey doesn't have any of that sort of discretion. And I think you now understand how the FBI fundamentally changed on its watch. It became a partisan agency that clears Hillary Clinton without authority, closes down Clinton Foundation investigations, opens up unwarranted investigations on President Trump. The James Comey era, as so many people like Kevin Brock, former intelligence chief, have said, forever changed the course of the FBI, and not for the better.
Not for the better. And you can count me among those who think that the FBI should be absolutely abolished. It is corrupt. It is pervasively corrupt, and I think irremediably corrupt. And to have built up an organization, this is a criminal organization, as far as I'm concerned. The enterprise is no different than any organized crime enterprise. It's just disgusting. And let me read from Just the News. I want to quote your publication. Quote, the president must be someone who abides the law and our Constitution. And there's no one else but Joe Biden, Comey said. That is stunning in its arrogance and its capacity for outrage.
Well, as the great legal mind, and I think he's done a great job at George Washington University, Jonathan Turley, has said, Comey's only voicing what seemed to be the virtual possibility of the FBI, which is we want to defeat Donald Trump and elect Joe Biden. And it's now apparent that we have several really serious pieces of evidence that show the FBI tipped the scales, put its thumb on the scales of two consecutive elections. And that's not what Americans expect. That's what a banana republic expects to have happen. And at this point now, I think most Americans have learned the FBI got involved in election politics where it doesn't belong.
When you go back to 2016, and preceding the election of 2016, even when the FBI is trying to frame a candidate, which the FBI is trying to frame and successfully so the national security advisor, when the FBI director is complicit in all of this, we're looking at, in my opinion, the FBI in 2016 and 2020 putting their heel in the throat of the American people and denying them their right to know, as well as carrying out an effort to overthrow the president of the United States. I mean, it's far more than just, to me, John, a thumb on the scale of justice.
That's right.
They threw the scale of justice up against a brick wall.
And it's just not what we've expected. We've expected our intelligence community to stay on the sidelines. They expected the FBI to stay on the sidelines of elections, to be apartisan and to focus on facts and evidence and treat every American, regardless of their political stripe, with the same fervor of investigation and the same protection of civil liberties. And that's not been the case in the last 7 years. And I've been covering the FBI for well over 35 years. The last 7 years have been its most devastating in terms of loss of public confidence, loss of public trust, loss of the trust of members of Congress and the judiciary. Just think about the FISA court and all the things the FISA court has exposed about FBI wrongdoing. And the gap between the FISA court's recent ruling is recently, just a couple of weeks ago, and the rhetoric of Christopher Wray, who keeps saying everything's fine in Dodge when everybody knows it's not. And I want to take something that I wrote this morning, because I think it's really emblematic of what the concern you're raising, Lou. I wrote a story this morning from several documents that Chuck Grassley has made available over 2 years. Put them all together, because when they've come out piecemeal, but when you sew them together, you get a very clear picture of what happened. Now, we know that Russian disinformation was used to go after Donald Trump. We know that Russian disinformation claims were used to stop the American public from understanding the Hunter Biden laptop and all of its allegations of political corruption were true. The 51 members of the intelligence community falsely misled us. It turns out, according to these documents I reviewed this morning, that the same Russian disinformation claim was circulated inside the FBI and used to shut down and thwart certain avenues of inquiry into the Biden family corruption right in the middle of the 2020 election. Chuck Grassley has put this evidence out in plain view for everyone to see. I pulled it together this morning. So the Russian disinformation wasn't just a deception for the American people. It became a false predicate for shutting down any investigation that dare look at the Biden family corruption allegations, of which there are many. And then you go forward to the IRS agent who testified to the Ways and Means Committee a couple of weeks ago, the whistleblower. And he says certain aspects of the Biden investigation on the tax side were also thwarted by the same Justice Department, the same FBI. We have so much evidence that the FBI was protecting Joe Biden and also at the same time going after Donald Trump, maybe without the proper predicate. That's why Americans no longer trust this one-storied criminal investigative agency.
We're talking with John Solomon, editor-in-chief of Just the News. Please stay with us. We'll be right back after these quick words.
Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte clear liners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you could pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's B-Y-T-E.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
CarMax is putting peace of mind back in car shopping by putting you in the driver's seat to find a ride that's right for you. Because at CarMax, we believe you shouldn't just settle for a car. You should love your car. That's why every car we sell is CarMax certified quality, so you can be sure with upfront pricing that's the same for every customer. So don't settle. Find love at first drive and start shopping now at CarMax.com. CarMax, the way car buying should be.
We're back now talking with John Solomon, and I want to start, pick up with where you had begun, and that is effectively with the FBI, the Department of Justice, unelected bureaucrats, unelected officials deciding important political questions, including not just right up to, but including presidential elections. This is outrageous. And there's been no consequence of any kind. The efforts to overthrow a president, the efforts to intervene, the successful efforts to intervene in the 2020 election, the unsuccessful efforts in 2016.
Yeah, there is a cycle that, if it isn't stopped at this moment, is going to become the normalized cycle of politics, which is the FBI, the intelligence community, the Justice Department, the IRS will be used every election cycle by the party in power to try to stop its opposition. That's what banana Republicans do. But this is the cycle we're on. And by the way, it predates 2016. In fact, the very prosecutor that currently is investigating Donald Trump and the classified documents on January 6th, Jack Smith, invented an idea a decade ago alongside Lois Lerner that they could maybe weaponize the tax code to go after and silence conservative nonprofit groups. So their blueprint has been out there for more than a decade now, and now it has had a few successes by Democratic standards, right? They were able to dirty up Donald Trump on Russia and leave many people believing there was Russia collusion when none such existed. They've been able to go out and scare people away from the Hunter Biden allegations, even though they were real. And of course, I played a big role in outing that. And of course, I was called a conspiracy theorist and otherwise. With those two or three successes, if they're not substantially reversed in the next several months with the James Comers and the Jim Jordans of the world, the temptation and the practice of using law enforcement to settle political scores will become the norm, not the exception. We're in that phase of moving from exception to norm. And that's what is so much at stake. The Democrats want to bowl over this one more time because they know one more time of this and it becomes the normal practice. That's what's at stake for America, whether we're going to have law and order or political disorder at the heart of our FBI and intelligence community. The stakes are extraordinarily high for the future of the country.
The Marxist Dems, the deep state, the unelected bureaucracy are all powerful right now. They control the Department of Justice. They control the FBI. They are in full control of our intelligence community. There are no exceptions other than perhaps dozens of whistleblowers who've stepped forward, and God bless them because they are truly the difference maker here. But I do not see a way forward if indeed the Biden regime decides to assert the power that it is in full control of. Your thoughts?
Yeah, I can't argue with that, Lou. I think that the understanding how much the Republicans ceded ground and how much the Democrats gained ground in the art of politics over the last decade is going to be something that'll be studied for decades. Democrats weaponized every aspect of politics and governance, from secretaries of states to ballot harvesting to FBI investigations. It's Democrats that are feeding the dope to the FBI on Donald Trump. Now, obviously, it's a willingly received information because of James Comey's biases. You see those on display this past weekend. But they've weaponized every aspect of it. And the Republicans have sat by there for the last 6 or 7 or 8 years, basically, well, we're outraged, but we're not really actually changing anything. And this moment now, these next 15 months before 16 months before the general election of 2024 will determine whether we become a one-party country or we still have a two-party system. Republicans must muster a significant counteroffensive against these things. It's not enough to be outraged. It's not enough to go run on Fox News and lay out your latest complaint or your outrage or your thing. They have to change things. They have to get deals in the budget. They have to cut the budget of misbehaving agencies. They need to create punishments for those who feel tempted or have already been tempted to weaponize government to settle political scores or to influence elections. If they don't do it, they'll have no one to look when they realize that Republicans are a minority party for perhaps decades to come. Democrats are playing nuclear war, and many times, not always, but many times, Republicans have been playing tiddlywinks. It's an uneven game, and the country's suffering for it. I do see signs now that Republicans are getting in the game. I see big donors talking about ballot harvesting and early voting. I see very determined Republicans talking about defunding pensions of people so that a future person has a thought, I might lose my pension over this, even if I don't get prosecuted. If they follow through on that, it's great. If they don't follow through on it, I think the Republicans are moving themselves to a permanent minority party, much like we saw in the 30s, 40s, 50s, and 60s in the Congress. And it'll be harder and harder to win elections when Democrats keep exercising so much dominance on the national stage.
I don't know that they have the power to unilaterally influence the budget and make it stick. Your thoughts?
This is an interesting moment. And I have a theory what Kevin McCarthy's up to based on a lot of reporting, but theory and what Kevin McCarthy actually would do, we'll have to see if they're the same. I think Kevin McCarthy realized that Republicans historically have not fared well when the full faith and credit of the United States was in a hostage-taking position, right? When a gun's to the head of defaulting, there are two dynamics at worst. One, the Democrats have done a better job demagoguing on it. And two, a lot of Republicans get weak-kneed because they don't want to ruin the great credit history of this country. So I think his theory in getting this debt deal done, which I think a lot of his right side of his party rues, was to take that weapon out of the Democrats' hands. Now, the argument is, well, then you gave the barn away to have one weapon taken away. The real question would be, does Kevin McCarthy and his team, can he sew together what will be a 3-vote margin in the House, right? Because we just lost Chris Stewart from Utah, so the Republican margin is even small, might even be smaller if Santos gets excommunicated from Congress. But do they have the will to say, you know what? We don't care anymore. The full faith and credit of the United States is no longer at risk. We will shut down the government until the following 15 things happen. And you can pick the 15 most important priorities. Everyone can. Whatever those are they willing to go to the mat and say, we'll shut this down. We don't care if Mitch McConnell teams back up with Schumer and Biden, though he stayed on the sidelines. We don't care if government bureaucrats don't get their salary. We'll make sure Social Security and Medicare go out, the main military stuff, but everything else shuts down until we get something we want out of this, and it needs to be substantial. If he does that, that will tell us that there's some courage that we haven't seen in the last two decades of Republicans. The truth of the matter is, Republicans have been among the greatest spending givers of anywhere. In the first 2 years of the Trump presidency under stewardship of Paul Ryan, the man who kept saying he was the deficit buster, the deficit nearly doubled from where Barack Obama left it. Now, Barack Obama's no model, right? He's no model, but it doubled on Republicans' watch.
Absolutely.
What happened? The American people put Democrats in charge because they didn't see a difference anymore. That moment is here again, and Kevin McCarthy will either be a Paul Ryan or he will be someone far or more like a Newt Gingrich. We will know in August and September if they have the will to do this. Are they willing to say, I'm going to cut the FBI budget by 30%. I'm going to get rid of the FBI thing. I'm going to get rid of the pensions of all the 51 people that signed that letter and others. Do they have the will to do that? I don't know. We'll see. But that's a possibility that's being discussed behind closed doors right now.
Yeah. Well, that is what I would expect from you, John. The very latest in news and the most important news that is confronting the country. We're talking, obviously, with John Solomon. He's the editor-in-chief of Just the News and one of the country's greatest journalists. We're going to come right back with him right after these quick words. Stay with us. This is a warning, my fellow Americans. The news just broke, and it's grim. The banking collapse of 2023 is now more devastating than the banking collapse of 2008. First Republic, PacWest, Silicon Bank, just a few of the latest casualties in this banking crisis. And don't wait for the email reading, quote, sorry, your account has been frozen, end quote. Take action now to protect what we've all worked so hard to build. Believe me, you can protect your wealth by utilizing a straightforward tax loophole that's entirely legal. Call my friends at American Alternative Assets. Ask them for your free wealth protection guide. Call 866-3-USA-GOLD. That's right, call now, 866-386-2465. This invaluable guide will outline the precise steps you need to take immediately to transfer your IRA or 401k into precious metals, all without tax consequence. Call American Alternative Assets at 866-3-USA-GOLD to claim your free gold and silver guide today. Once again, call now, 866-387-2465. We're back with John Solomon. John, I want to get right back to what you're talking about, and that is the leverage that the Republican House does have, and what would be the best possible use of use of their power, controlling the House right now, to bring this government to heel that is run now by the Marxist Dems and the deep state.
There is a lot of discussion going on behind closed doors. There are some interesting dynamics. The deal that Kevin McCarthy made has made him the most popular leader in Washington right now. He's way more popular than even Donald Trump, certainly way more popular than Joe Biden or any of his Democratic colleagues. That's unusual because he started at a very low popularity rating in January after the long drawn out speakership battle. He has some political capital to spend. And I think the question is, will he spend it in a way that substantially changes the government, or does he play it safe, a la the John Boehner and Paul Ryan strategies of speakers past? There is some fascinating discussions that I'm privy to, I've been able to report on, where there is a grand plan that Kevin McCarthy's talking to his lieutenants about. In order to pull it off, he's got to go to the Freedom Caucus, who are very disaffected with him because of the deal he made, and say, listen, I'm real popular right now. I'm willing to spend that popularity to get the sort of things you wanted in the debt deal, but I think they're best gotten in the appropriations process. We are going to substantially reduce outlays and authorizations, the two tools that Congress has to control spending. And if Democrats don't like it, I want you to sit with me in the trenches and we'll shut down the government in the fall. We'll pick a battle and say, this bill ain't coming through. We're not doing a voice vote on it. It's not happening. And we'll lock down and we'll show people that a lot of government isn't worth keeping, because we'll close it down and most people won't know it's not open. And I think that that's an idea that he has. And they've identified some in the early conversations. Lou, I'll give you some things that they're talking about doing, right? Defunding the FBI headquarters, beginning the dismantling of the Department of Education and returning the money to block grants. It would get rid of a huge bureaucracy. Defunding overly zealous environmental regulators who keep getting shut down in the courts. Stopping billions in wasteful spending on meaningless NIH studies. Every year, you and I find a million NIH studies. You go, why are we spending money on that? None of it helps public health, as we learned in the pandemic. Stopping the Justice Department from redirecting court judgments that belong to the American taxpayers, but instead they're given to liberal advocacy groups as redirects. Those are all things that he's currently talking to his top lieutenants about doing. That could cut several scores of billions of dollars right away, maybe even the hundreds of billions of dollars very quickly. And if he's willing to put that plan together, get his entire caucus on and pouring in one direction like he did on the early bills, you'll be cutting the government by a lot more than the 1% target this deal. You could cut it by 3, 2, 3, 4, 5%, which would be historic, and it would send shockwaves. I think the American people would applaud it, and the Democrats would fear it. And I think that's what's going on behind the scenes. I don't know if he can execute it, but that is what my reporting shows is going on behind the scenes.
Well, that is, I think, one of the most hopeful things I've heard in a very long time about what the Republicans can do, again, dependent upon their will. There has to be within that caucus the ability to, if necessary, step up behind Speaker McCarthy.
That's right.
To execute it. But to especially restore this country to decency, to honesty and forthrightness, transparency, and to make certain that no longer are the American people afraid of their government, but rather the bureaucracy is now afraid of the American people. We're watching a movement here in this country that people have to understand, and that is the left in this country has locked arms, whether it's in education, whether it is in any number of areas, academia, public education, they're destroying it. And with it, they don't mind a bit destroying the American family and the hardworking middle class in this country. They are the enemies of this Biden regime.
You saw this just flatly stated by the White House press secretary last week when she said there are children, meaning the government's children, no prior generation of an American leadership or administration would ever have made such a bold claim that they have ownership. And you see it in daily court battles and these battles with parents, the education bureaucrats saying we know better than the parents. That is how far the debate has devolved or evolved in America in the last several years. And these are existential questions about America now. Will parents really have the right to determine their children, or will they be taken away from them like Washington and Oregon and other states are talking about when the transgender laws? These are massive debates that really will determine the sort of country we're going to be for 30, 40, 50 years. And it's going to require people of great courage and great fortitude and great stubbornness to hold the line, or I think America will be fundamentally changed by the Democrats. They'll prevail. They're on the prevailing side right now, but it's not past the point of reversing it.
I think everyone listening to you and me, John, I think they have to understand this is the third term of Barack Obama.
Yeah,
he promised profound transformation of America. He hated America. I think he hates Americans. But the reality is we have to stand up for what is ours. And if, as you say, if our children do not belong to us, but rather the state, there's no more discussion is required. And to, for people, I see such hesitancy and frankly, I think some considerable cowardice and people not being able to say, we're going to be tolerant, but we're not going to be dominated by these crazy groups, whatever they may be. But in the issue of transgender, it's mental illness on its, again, it's obvious, but no one wants to talk about that reality. And they instead want to make it a community standard. Your reaction to what has become a movement from what is a fraction, a tiny fraction of this country's citizens.
Yeah, well, the reaction is, as a reporter, I've seen some of the most fast, impactful counter reactions that I've ever seen in my life. What happened to Bud Light in a short few days, or Target, which is now $10 billion less valuable than it was a week or two ago, tells you that the American people have had their final button pushed. And so you're seeing very optimistic, if you believe in the country that we've had for the first 245, 46 years, you're seeing some things that are optimistic, right? There are some wins in the courts. Some of the censors are beginning to lose, right? The Global Disinformation Index shut down after censoring our free speech for a long period of time. There are hopeful signs that what went on in the parents' movements and these school boards, which, by the way, are accelerating. More school boards are being transformed by parent interaction. There are a lot of hopeful signs that the silent majority of Americans that Ronald Reagan made famous 4 or 5 decades ago aren't so silent anymore. As that woman in Philadelphia who stopped me a few weeks ago said, silence is no longer an option because it's complicity in the destruction of America. If that groundswell continues, it won't matter whether Ronna McDaniel's the RNC chair, it won't matter who the presidential candidate, it will be the people themselves are taking their government back, and they're not going to stop until they win. And that, I think, is a helpful sign for those who believe in the republic as it was established and not in the republic that Joe Biden and Barack Obama have tried to rejigger and remake into their own sort of European socialist model. And when you mentioned that Biden being the third term, I don't think Barack Obama would have had the moxie to do some of the things that Joe Biden has pulled off in this thing. Barack Obama had a little bit more moderation than Joe Biden has shown. And that's saying something, because Barack Obama was not a moderate. But Joe Biden has taken this debate further than I think even Barack Obama would have been willing to go if he had a third term. And maybe that's to the advantage of those who want to preserve the country, because it has hit a very hard nerve in American consciousness. And it seems to be to have created a very powerful counterwave. Just ask Target, Disney, and Bud Light what their reaction is.
Without question, and a terrific point, and one that gives us, again, all of us some hope that we can redeem this country's destiny and restore our values and remove those who would like to take this, destroy this republic and all the rest of us. Yes. Your last words here, we always give our guests the last words. John, your concluding thoughts, if you will.
There's going to be a 2-week period where much larger pieces of evidence about the Biden family corruption scandal are going to come out. We're going to learn more about what was in this document shown today. We're going to learn more about what the IRS agent said. We're going to learn more about the Russian disinformation ruse that was used to shut down Hunter Biden things. This is a seminal moment for Republicans to, for the first time, reverse the fake stories of the Biden family corruption and impose the true ones, so that heading into the 2020 election, whether Hunter Biden's indicted or not, Americans can make a better informed decision than they were allowed to make in 2020. I think the next 3 weeks are going to be interesting. And the counteroffensive is also going to come. I think it's highly probable that President Trump will be indicted once or twice in the next month. And so the Democratic machinery of taking their political opponents down through the law enforcement realm is going to accelerate, not decelerate. Even in all of this oversight that's going on now, Democrats don't seem in the slightest to lose any of their momentum towards weaponizing government further.
John Solomon, Just the News. We appreciate it so much, John. Thanks so much. God bless
you. Be with you as well, Lou. Thank you.
That's it for us today. Thanks, everybody, for listening. Our guest here tomorrow will be Congressman Jim Jordan, the hard-charging chairman of the House Commerce Committee. We hope you'll join us for that and more. And until then, thank you, God bless you, and may God bless America.